Why don't we stand and say Hail Mary? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you. So welcome to another installment of the 15-Minute Catechism. And if you recall, what happened last time is that we were going through the Beatitudes, and we covered in the prior session what does it mean to be poor in spirit, and what does it mean to be people who mourn and who are comforted, as the Lord promises us. We said poor in spirit was anybody maybe materially poor, but certainly people of humble heart, dependent people, are poor in spirit. And then those who mourn would be not so much people who are, you know, sad because somebody has died or whatnot, although those are important things that God wants to comfort us in, it's true. But the mourning it refers to is a sense of sadness over sin in our hearts and the hearts of people around us that moves us to change and be converted, kind of like today's gospel talks about. So the remaining Beatitudes we'll just cover today a little bit, and we'll skip over a couple of bit because we'll do this kind of briefly. But the one we'll talk about first is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. So what is the meek, anyway, right? Who are the meek? And maybe to get an answer, we can look through some of the scriptures to find other references to the term meek. And as always with these Beatitudes talks, I'm borrowing very heavily from Pope Benedict's first book on Jesus, when he writes Jesus of Nazareth, and he writes from the Beatitudes. So a lot of this comes from really his thinking. He's much smarter than I am, so I borrow from him whenever I possibly can. But he mentions that the meek was used, for example, to describe Moses. So he is an example of a meek personality in the scriptures. Meek is also used in the Psalms. It says in Psalm 37, the meek shall inherit the land. And so very much like the Beatitude. So what Jesus is doing with these Beatitudes is he's really borrowing heavily from the Psalms in so many ways, right? So we have meek figures like that. Then we have a reading that will be coming up as we hit Holy Week and takes on importance. It's from the book of the prophet Zechariah, and it's quoted by the Gospels in reference to Palm Sunday. Zechariah says, "Rejoice, O daughter Zion, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious. He is humble, meek, riding on the colt, on the foal of an ass." That's Zechariah 9, verse 9. And so it refers, of course, to Jesus coming in humility and glory into his own city of Jerusalem. Zechariah could never have known at the time how his prophecy would be fulfilled so beautifully in Jesus. So he's the meek one. Jesus is the meek one. Moses is, the Psalms speak of the meek. Jesus is the truly meek one. So a meek person would be someone who has a quiet sense of self-possession about them. It's the best way that I can describe it. Quiet sense of self-possession and a royalty about them, like a king would have. Precisely because they don't seek attention and don't domineer and don't overpower other people. So meek people don't need to force themselves or be overpowering because they're just quietly confident that God has made them royalty. They are his sons and daughters, see? So Jesus has that way about him too as he's coming into Jerusalem. You know, he's not coming in with a vast army. He's coming in as a poor king, as a simple king, as a lowly king. He's the meek one who's confident in his Father's love, and therefore he can conquer hearts by his gentleness. That's what a meek person is, as the scriptures talk about it. That's not the same thing as being passive. Okay, this is freedom. Meekness is freedom to live life's existence in a state of confidence in God's love. The meek don't chase after fancy things, the latest thing. They're unimpressed by earthly fireworks and glamour and glitz. You know, meek people don't need all that stuff. It just kind of slides right past them. Displays of showy power, that's not what the meek are about, right? They shall inherit the earth, it says, or the land, Jesus says. So Benedict says this about them. He said, think of them as the servant or the peasant class throughout history, the simple ones, who are going to remain after all the armies and kings and the mighty have crisscrossed the land, burning, conquering, taking over before they go on to the next thing, and who's left but the peasants, the ones who have to live there, right? Well, the glamorous ones keep going, the meek ones remain. Well, they get the land, because it's theirs. They never really left the land, right? So the simple are the ones who remain free of the lusts of running around to conquer more things. Okay, so that's the land, right? If you want a really crude analogy, I was thinking about this morning actually, at the risk of really corrupting the Beatitudes and the Lord getting really mad at me for doing this. The meek inherit in the land. Think about insects. They're everywhere. They've been here for thousands of years. They'll be after we are gone. They're not glamorous. They're not showy. They're not powerful. But they clearly control the land. I can't get them out of my house, and you can't either. So I kind of come and I go like the powerful human that I am, you know, tromping over their territory. And yet the insects, they are just the quiet meek who have the land is theirs. The land is theirs, right? So Jesus would say, be like the insects and, you know, be the ones who are quietly doing your work and going about the business of the Lord. Dutiful, lowly, constant, steadfast. The land's also obviously a reference to the promised land, right? Because in the Old Testament, that's the big thing to be mindful of, which was given to the Jews could worship in peace. And so the land's a reference to heaven. The meek will go to heaven. They'll inherit the land, they'll inherit heaven, no? So that's a bit about blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth or the land. Pope Benedict says that the beatitude about the peacemakers being children of God, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be children of God, is very similar to the meek. You know, to be people of peace is to be kind of the same. We don't grab on earthly power. So who is it that brings peace on earth to all men of goodwill, according to Luke and the Gloria that we sing during most of the liturgical year? Well, that's Jesus. He's the bringer of peace, okay? And so anyone who follows after Jesus must be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, they should be children of God. So that's anybody who walks in the way of Jesus, being people of nonviolence, and who make the intentional choice to stand against hatred with love and with compassion and with mercy. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be satisfied. So that's any man or woman in the world who seeks after truth. Anybody in the world looking for the truth are those people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that's not confined to just the Jews or to the people listening to the gospel. That's anybody on the planet, right? The truth is open to everybody. The truth of the gospel is accessible to all. And so this is anybody who is not satisfied with shallow explanations, who doesn't chase after empty pleasures. Now, people who are convinced that the world as we can encounter it can become even better, can be changed for the better. These are people who thirst for righteousness. So you who take parenting seriously, you who volunteer, you who give, you are the people who thirst for a better existence for your kids, for the rest of us. You'll be satisfied, Jesus says. Your desire will be fulfilled. Okay? So this is, again, like I said, not just a Christian thing. This is anybody who searches for the truth. Okay? And so this is how the gospel is planted in people's hearts, because, you know, how the faith spread, not by domineering, although sometimes it's true some force was used in Christian history, that is a fact, but it took root in people's hearts, not because it was forced on them, but because they recognized it was the truth. And it grew because it was the truth, and they only recognized it because they were looking for it. Every heart looks for righteousness. Every heart has an openness to the truth, and so this speaks to the fact that we're naturally open to hearing the beautiful words that Jesus has to teach to all of us, right? So we are all hungry people on some level. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be satisfied. And the last one I'll touch on, blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. And again, Pope Benedict has this really interesting little quotation, which is kind of humorous on one level. Especially if we're people who are precise about anatomy, this will horrify you. He says, the organ for seeing God is the heart. The organ for seeing God is the heart, not the eyes, like we think about, you know, in the doctor's office today. He says, no, in the biblical terms, you see with the heart. You see with the very depth of your being. And so the clean of heart, whose vision is clean, whose hearts are clean, and therefore vision is clean, they're going to see God. That's what Jesus promises us, which is a really beautiful thing to think about. So the pure of heart, the clean of heart, means discipline in the body and the senses to bring the body and the mind and the soul all into harmony. And then God becomes visible. So if we're having a hard time seeing God in the world or in our lives or in people around us, it's because something is out of sync. in our passions, in our appetites. Something is disordered, something is unclean. And, you know, you read Dante's Divine Comedy, which is one of the greatest things ever written in the history of the world, I'm convinced. And the punishments that the people face in hell, the inferno, the damned, or the folks going through purgatory, making their way up the mountain, you know, the people who in purgatory are there for anger, so their hearts aren't clean. Well, they are condemned to walk around in this big cloud of smoke until they're finally purified of that sin. So they're blinded, you see. They don't see because their passions have gotten in the way. It's a brilliant literary move by Dante. So what's the Lord saying? Your passions blind you, he says to us, right? So you want to see me, get yourselves under control, okay? Psalm 24 says, "Who shall stand in the holy place? The man with pure hands and clean heart, who has not sworn to deceive his neighbor, who has not gone after useless things or things too great." So God's presence is clear to us as we choose to do his will more and more. Okay, so we do seek his face and we follow his laws. So his laws are designed to purify the organ of sight, which is the heart, right? So again, he promises that we'll see God. You know, he says, "This is the people that long to see your face." The Psalms tell us that. So we're all looking for him, and we'll see him in our neighbors, in our jobs, in our world around us, as our appetites are disciplined in the law of love and the gospel. So I spoke of the Beatitudes for these few weeks because we were to try and get an idea, looking at the Catechism, of our desire for happiness. We all desire beatitude. That's why Jesus gave us these beautiful precepts on the Mount of the Beatitudes a long time ago in his Sermon on the Mount, because we're all looking to be fulfilled. And he gives us the remedy and the answer. This is it. You know, these, along with the commandments, the rest of his teachings, the teachings of the church, it's all right there. And the Catechism will go on to say that this desire that we have for fulfillment can be directed in a good direction or in a poor direction. And when we direct it well, in the right direction, by these Beatitudes, then we're blessed. Beati, we are blessed people, and we're happy people. And if we direct it poorly, then we become miserable, frustrated, unfulfilled, empty people. And that's where the rest of the Catechism is going to pick up. It's going to be, you know, on the moral law, on the nature of choice, on the nature of sin, on the nature of grace and of freedom, what makes a good action versus a sinful one, and then all the commandments. It picks them apart one at a time to really help us to see what is the right course of action to channel this desire of our heart in the proper direction, right? If we turn away, we're miserable. If we follow him, we are blessed people. And indeed. And that is the end of our 15-minute catechism. Thank you. Any questions for today? All right. Thanks so much for staying around. I appreciate it.